Good morning and welcome to the Local Foods, Local Places radio show discussing the local foods movement in the San Luis Valley.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
This show airs on KRZA Community Radio every third Thursday of the month at 8:30 a.m. And you can also listen to any of our shows at any time on our website, www.slvlocalfoods.org. Today, I have with me Julie Mordecai, the recently retired director of the Rio Grande Farm Park. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Thanks.
Before we begin, I just want to say thank you so much for serving as the director of the farm park for the past 5 years and for taking the time to share your story with us on this program.
It's my pleasure.
Go ahead and tell us a little bit about who you are and what led you to becoming the director of the Rio Grande Farm Park.
I guess the Rio Grande Farm Park is the culmination of my career, really. I owned a business here for 10 years. It was a bed and breakfast, and I used local foods. And that was in, 1990 to 2000. And I don't think there was a movement going, really, except that, I wanted to support local businesses like my own. And then after I sold the inn, I ran Milagros for 2 years. And again, we used local foods. I was writing about this today in a letter to the college I went to, which was Oberlin College in Ohio. And I lived in a co-op there and learned to bread bake and meal plan. And it really had an impact on my whole life, being in that cooperative. I've never not been a member of a food co-op until ours closed down. So local food and food had really been part of my life since I, probably when I was little, I really discovered it at college. And when we moved here from actually California, Santa Barbara, where I finished up my schooling, still belonged in a co-op there though, I was a teacher for a little bit and then I started the bed and breakfast. Well, from there I ran the Boys and Girls Clubs for 5 years. I was the state director for Boys and Girls Clubs for 5 years. That, both of them very exciting opportunities. I love the Boys and Girls Clubs. And then from there, after I did the state directorship, I started my own little consulting company to help nonprofits across the state. And that was really fun. And then when the opportunity came to, to work on the farm park, we needed to raise a lot of money fast. And that's something that I like to do, which not everyone in the world does. And so we had to raise over $900,000 to acquire the park. And we had to do it in 3.5 months. So we put it together and we formed teams and it helped, I like to community organize. So lots of different people helped. It wasn't just me, but we all went out and then we were able to get a hold of the park as our space. And then I was because I did that and was volunteering for 4 months or 5 months, I was asked to be the interim director. And then after a year, we did a call for directors for the program because I wanted there to be an open process. I just didn't want to walk into it because if there was somebody better out there for this position, I really wanted them to come forward. I feel that way about everything, really. And so they interviewed me, and I think there was another candidate, and they invited me to be the director. So that's how I became the director. And it was the Local Foods Coalition and the board and several other people that were involved in the process of getting the park who did the acquisition. And then you asked, who am I? And I really see myself as this. I'm a community organizer. But I didn't know I was one. I just kind of fell into it. There's a lot of people like that in the world. I like to raise money because I think I'm a fundraiser because I like to raise money in it. And I didn't when I was younger. When I ran the club, I was a little afraid of it. But now I really feel like money is just energy. And you can use your energy to make the world a better place. And so what I do is give people opportunities to change the world for things that they believe in. And so whether it's the farm park or when I worked at Boys and Girls Clubs and other things, like, I just feel like that's really important that we can do that. And there are people that have the means to give, but even people who give $25 a year to something, that has a huge effect on, you know, if you look at it on a grand scale. So all of us have the opportunity to give our time and talent and treasure, and I love helping people match, being a matchmaker to help them find what their passion is. And then I'm a mother of two kids that I adore, and they're adults, and they're filmmakers, and I love them to death. I can't tell you how much you love your kids. And then everybody knows who has them, but, you know, we can also have, I adopt kids too, so in the community. So I think it's really important to have those relationships with people you can mentor. I'm a wife. I usually don't mention that too much. I'm such an independent person. But I have an amazing husband who's a professor at Adams, and that's how we ended up here in the Valley. And now I'm looking at myself as a yoga instructor in the future. I've been studying yoga for 30 years. And then I'm working on becoming an artist. So that's who I am.
Awesome. That's great. Thanks for sharing your story with us today, Julie. Now let's talk some more about the Rio Grande Farm Park. What is the Rio Grande Farm Park and how did it come into being?
Well, it was a vision that came forth through the Local Foods Coalition. They would have the, they were having these meetings about what could be done to, you know, that a multi-use park. And they had meetings, several meetings across Alamosa, and Hisa Ota and various other artists helped to make a first design. Later on, we took that design after we acquired the land, and we brought it back to the community and asked them, what do they want? What does the community want? We had a lot of meetings, and then we'd bring back more plans and get more feedback. And so what it really is the biggest thing that came out of those meetings is that they wanted to preserve as much of the agricultural land as possible. And then any of the compact and non-usable land, that would be for developing placemaking for the community. And so of the, it's almost 40 acres, and of that, 16 acres is arable. Several of the acres are across the river because it's on both sides of the Rio Grande. And so with that, we then planned what kinds of activities we wanted here. And through that planning process, recreation came out very high, just like every other project, how the city plan recreation came out number one, you know, the trails and stuff. So, you know, maintaining the trails, agriculture, trails, and then what do we want to do to create a sense of place in the community? A nature playground, maybe an event space if we can, you know, get that as a community-wide project. Housing for artists and farmers that might want to come and learn this regenerative practice of agriculture that we're trying to employ. And, you know, a real barn to handle everything, a way to handle the food, and so our farmers can package it and sell it. And then the nature play area needs, which has already been built, which we'll talk about later, we'll need a bathroom, which we will have the funding for next year, and then a environmental education space, because that came up as very important as well. So really, everything that's being built there was done through a community process. Everything that we've been trying to accomplish has been through a community process. And then we keep going back to the community. So like if we're going to do a new piece, example, environmental education building, we went back to educators. We went back to people, to kids, and asked them, what do you want there? What do you want to learn about? It was really interesting. Things came up that I never even thought would come up, like filmmaking. Kids wanted to learn how to do environmental films, you know, films about the earth, or films about water, or films about farming. And so I thought that was really interesting. It didn't, you know, with two filmmakers in my family, I didn't even come up with that idea. But when we went to the middle school, They came up with that idea. And so they came up with many ideas that went into our application to GOCO, which we'll hear about soon, to do the Environmental Education Center. So
that's
anyway,
really cool.
Yeah, so that's how it came into being, and it continues. We keep working towards each of the things according to how much, what are the funding opportunities across the state. According to what the funding opportunities are in the state. So, and then what we do provide now is land access to great soil and beautiful land to grow food for our community. We work with farmers who we not only sometimes work with to teach them regenerative ag, but also many of them have many years' experience in ag and can teach us, but we're providing access to land that they might not ever get.
Right on. Awesome. Would you mind saying that sentence one more time?
Which, from where?
So I might have a clearer cut of it.
Well, we offer an opportunity for farmers to learn, have land access, and great soil. I'll just wait. Okay, so we offer land and educational opportunities, soil for farmers that they might not always have access to. We also offer classes in regenerative ag, because that may be a new concept. What's interesting to us is that really many of our farmers have a lot more knowledge than we do, and they can teach us, and they do come from an organic farming background. So we are not certified organic, but we're using organic practices. So,
fantastic. And would you mind just telling our listeners, for those who don't know where the farm park is located, what's the best way to get there?
So it's the old Polston Primary School, and it's pretty close to the corner of 17 and 160.
And what are some of the ways that the community can get involved or participate in one of the programs at the Rio Grande Farm Park?
Well, if you want to be a farmer, you can download an application off our website, riograndefarmpark.org. But you could also do a summer internship. And sometimes we have funding and sometimes it's unpaid. It depends on what grants are available. And then you can also be a volunteer on our monthly work days. And they change, but they're on a Saturday. And you can look on our website and our Facebook page to see when those are. We also have events that you can volunteer for. And if you're younger, or not even these days, you could join AmeriCorps or VISTA and become one of our AmeriCorps or VISTA volunteers. We tend to have one, we're going to have one more AmeriCorps next year for Generation Wild.
Generation Wild.
Yeah. So we have an AmeriCorps through that, and then we tend to hire a VISTA to work on projects. So those are ways to get involved. We have a staff member that is trying to recruit volunteers, so that's meg.rgfp. Yeah.
Right on. Okay, so now would you mind just telling us a little bit more about the Guatemalan community and the members who have helped to build and maintain the farm park as agricultural land?
So before, even when Polston was still there, or it was right after, maybe it was torn down, Patrick O'Neill was working with the Guatemalan community. The mushroom farm had closed down. And the families that are here, there's many. We have 400 people, which is almost 5% of our community. That's a large demographic. Many of the families were working, or the breadwinners were working at the mushroom farm. And so one of the ways to offset their loss in income was to have some gardens out there. And so Patrick worked with Polston Primary to get permission. Before that, it was even a community garden and a children's garden with Louette Frost. But anyway, that's how the Guatemalans got involved, was, you know, we had sort of a crisis, a financial crisis. And so then, since we took over the ownership, Francisco Lucas and Lucia have both been on, and she's Gaspar, Luke and Lucas at the end, I think. They both have been on our board of directors, which, or our committee, which acted like a board. And then Francisco is currently working with us as a liaison to the community, and we still have family farming plots that are mostly Guatemalan. It's not strictly Guatemalan, but it's mostly Guatemalan. And the farmers themselves have tended to be Guatemalan from Mexico, Hispanic from here, Anglo from here. So we're a real mix out in terms of the more commercial plots. But the heart and soul of the whole project really came from the Guatemalan community. And Francisco and Lucia really kind of bring the heart to it in so many ways when they talk about land and soil and water. Antonio Garcia and his wife Sandy have been very active. He's one of our farmers. He's from Mexico originally. So it really is become more diverse, our population that's out there. But what the main thing that's so beautiful about it is that, you know, when we are able to have activities out there and all of us getting together, I think is one of the few places in the valley where people from all cultures are together with different educational backgrounds, different backgrounds, and we really are on the same playing field, and not just playing field, but get to meet each other in a really special way. And that's probably the most important thing about the farm park to me in terms of my growth and my experience. And I mean, it has been a wonderful place. And I know that our community is integrated in many ways, but I find that sometimes we're not all together as much as we should be because there's so much that we can share together. And so I feel like the farm park is one of those places where we are, really we are. And I don't want to ever see that get lost.
Tell me, how has your time with the Rio Grande Farm Park impacted your life personally?
So me personally, it's brought me back to my roots. I have a degree in environmental studies, which I never used until I was, but now I'm 59, so 5 years ago, like 40, 54. So, you know, I have this degree that I really didn't use, you know, so all of a sudden now I got to go and hang out and learn about, you know, how environmental studies fits into agriculture and really seeing the effects of carbon sequestration and what it could do if a lot of us worked hard to do more green manure and, you know, less chemicals in our soil and less turning of the soil, which we have not gotten great at yet because of, you know, we had to land level and different things. We have a lot of plans and work towards making the soil better, not worse, as we use it. And I think that that's something that all farmers try to do. But this is something that, you know, in the long run, if we take care of the soil, it can really make a difference for the future of our economy and our lives, our health and wealth. And then being able to be back and connected to the land and seeing how the land can be healing to so many people and teach, you know, so when we have kids out there and they're learning, or, you know, if you're a veteran and you need a place to be, you know, our incubator farmer program would be a healing place to be able to work and get back to the soil. So I just think that there's so many opportunities for people to utilize the place to reconnect with the land. And then for me, this farm park has made me really see the knowledge of the indigenous community, of the Guatemalan community. They're really they view themselves as Native and American, because they're in Guatemala and it's America. And, you know, they have so many commonalities with other indigenous peoples across, you know, South America, Central America, Mexico, you know, North America, you know. So it's so interesting. And so here are folks that maybe have not a lot of formal education, but teach me things every single day. And so it has really put me in my place in a lot of ways, working at the farm park, like learning from everybody, you know, just about how to love the land, how to care about each other. When I think about Lucia, and Francisco both, I sometimes just get tears in my eyes talking about them because of what they've taught me.
Incredible. Thank you. Yeah. What are some of the current projects going on at the farm park right now?
So, again, we'll be adding new farmers, so we'd love for people to apply and the application process is open right now, and it's not, the window's not so big. So if you're interested, you need to get involved in with and get in contact with us, and we'll give you that contact information soon. We have just finished the Nature Play Area, and it's been interesting because it is winter, and there are kids out there every day because they really love the zip line, and they've been sledding on the hill that we built. So I just think it's really fun that, you know, it's a created space, but it gives them a feeling of being, you know, having nature in their backyard and having fun and making life. It's just interesting space. There's a lot of room for make-believe in there. It's very Montessori-ish, and so it's just a space where kids don't have to have every minute of their time dictated by an activity. They can make up activities, and that's so exciting for me. And to see that flourish next year, it'll be really fun when it's the summer, right? And the water pump is going. And then we will be adding bathrooms. We're putting in a fence. This is all sexy stuff. And then if we get the funding from GOCO, we'll be putting in the Environmental Education Center, which I think will be really nice for everyone to use. You know, it'll be open to educators to come and utilize us as a lab. You know, we have water from the river, so they could look at microinvertebrates or come learn about bees or how to make compost. You know, there's so many opportunities for learning. And so one of the other projects is building sort of a little curriculum that people can download from the website to then utilize on their own there, or utilize one of our staff to come meet them, to work with them. And we do have camps out there in the summer. We work with the city and with Adams State and Boys and Girls Clubs to put on camps. So there's lots of opportunities. And I just, you know, this next year, if we can get a greenhouse, that'll change everything. So we're going to be kicking off a big fundraising effort towards a greenhouse. And that's going to be, I can't leave without doing a fundraiser. So we're doing a fundraising retirement party on the 21st of February. And if you'd like to come, you can also, I'll just give my number out and get you on the list because I can get people in. It's 719-580-0379. We're going to raise money to try to, for some general operating funds, but also to build a greenhouse, because right now we're very dependent on grants. We're not a good three-legged stool that I like to see in a nonprofit, so I have to hit myself a little bit about not getting this done earlier in the process. And so the greenhouse, we believe, will actually add some income by selling some greens and things, and, you know, provide a little bit of an income stream from the farm park, as well as provide a place for the farmers to start their farm plots. So.
Awesome. And would you give out that number one more time if anyone's interested in participating in this fundraiser?
Yeah, the fundraiser is 719-580-0379. Just call me and I'll get you on the list.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Awesome. So with all of this going on, what do you think, or what would be your vision for what the farm park will look like in another 5 years?
I really want it to be a place where people gather and meet, and it becomes the place, you know, where people hang out for good things, like maybe for our farmers market. So, you know, the thing that we're going to do next year is we're going to have a market out there Monday through Friday. So people can come and buy vegetables, you know, in August, September, and October. So anyway, I want people to be there to buy vegetables, you know, lots going on to sell vegetables and maybe other food, value-added foods. I hope we have housing there so we can house young people and new people who want to learn to farm, and maybe our farm manager. I really would like to see our event space, you know, come into being. And then I'd like, you know, to see our farmers be the teachers and have a lot of trainings going on in conjunction with our next door property that's owned by Arnold and Marguerite Salazar, the Manzanilla Farm. So, you know, I just see a much more collaboration. And if, you know, in 5 years, if I'd like us to have some way to do events, and I don't know what that looks like yet. We have an events place space planned, but maybe it's a more cooperative venture with our next door neighbors. So
that sounds really exciting. So who is the next person leading the way for the Rio Grande Farm Park, and what is the best way to reach them?
So right now we have Amber Middleton, who was my very first VISTA, here as a transition manager. And so she's helping Liza Marone, who's the executive director of the Local Foods Coalition. And so those are the two people that I would reach out to in terms of the leadership for the farm park. Amber's email is amber.slvlocalfoods@gmail.com. And then Liza's email is director.slvlocalfoods@gmail.com. And the number here at the office is 719-937-2319.
All right. Well, now that you have officially retired from your position as the director of the Rio Grande Farm Park, what is next for Julie Mordecai?
Support ongoing projects in my community as a citizen, like Revitalize the Rio, SLV goes, and the city's work on that. I'm on the committee for Artscape for downtown Alamosa, and that's really important to me, that we bring up the arts in the community and maybe someday be an arts district. So I want to help in any way I can with that. I'm running for the board of the Narrow Gauge Bookstore, so if I get on the board, I'll help on that. And either way, I'll help. I'm on their marketing committee. And I'm also doing some consulting up north at Chaffee County Boys and Girls Clubs for their capital campaign. And really, what I want to do is do some yoga, teach yoga, do some art. I'm making mosaics. They're sort of spiritual pieces, both Judaica and sort of Buddhist, Hindu stuff. And then in beautiful, neat, just really fun mosaics that I learned from a really great teacher in Denver named Susan Wexler. And then I'm going to try to find my own way of being after learning from her. You know, that's always the thing. How do you find your own voice? And then maybe get some books read, you know, lots for fun, just reading stories. I love reading, so that's my hope. So that's what's next for me, spending more time with my kids in L.A., and then maybe getting some traveling in.
Well, it sounds like you've got lots of exciting plans and lots of opportunities to still have a big impact and involvement in the community. So thank you so much for telling us everything and for all of your time working and increasing the presence of the Rio Grande Farm Park. And for speaking with us today, thanks for coming in and doing this show with us, talking about the Rio Grande Farm Park. You've spent much of your life working to improve and support the Alamosa area and the SLV community at large, and I just want to let you know that we really appreciate it. Your hard work, determination, and resilience has not gone unnoticed. So thanks again for being a part of this organization and this community. And I speak for all of us at the Local Foods Coalition when I say we wish you the best of luck and lots of happiness in your retirement and whatever comes next on your journey. And thanks to our listeners for listening to this show with Julie Mordecai. You've been listening to the Local Foods, Local Places radio show on KRZA 88.7 FM and available online at our website, www.slvlocalfoods.org. This program is paid for by the San Luis Valley Local Foods Coalition, whose mission is to foster an equitable local food system that restores the health of the people, community, economy, and ecosystem. If you would like to comment on this show or would like to get involved, call our office at 719-937-2319. Thanks for listening, and tune in next month to hear more about the local foods movement in the San Luis Valley.
All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. And inch by inch, row by row, someone blessed these seeds I sowed. Someone warmed them from below till the rains come tumbling down.
You music on today's program was The Garden Song by David Mallon.